All right, folks, we are back on the flagstick.com Tea Talk podcast. Been a few weeks. We're back together. Stefan Tiedorf here with my co-host, Scott McCloud. How are you today?
I'm doing great and happy that you're back because solo conversations, you know, those talking to yourself just feels weird.
Yeah, you should have just did a longer interview. That's all I do. Just try to find somebody else to hang out with.
Myself? Oh, okay.
Which I got to do soon, right? You're going to PEI. You're going to get some content out there. You're going to go to McKenzie tour events, your parents. But for me, I'm going to have to find some people to chat with.
I think you'd be okay. I think there's a few people that always want to talk golf, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there's so many we can get into guests over the years where we just kind of put a quarter and then we'll probably get to a couple of them today and maybe we'll hint at getting to them at some point in the next little while. But I'm looking forward to you going away for selfish reasons for you. I think it's a long time coming for you to get back home. So when do you head out? What's the plan? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Driving down, heading out at the end of the week, heading out Thursday, going to drive down to Fredericton and then zip over to the island on Friday morning. So I'll be gone for 2 weeks and yeah, it'll be good. It's been 2 years since I've been home and lots of people I want to see there, obviously family and friends as well. And then just a coincidence that the good old McKenzie tour is returning to PEI the same time I am. They haven't been there for quite some time. So I'm going to check out one of the events there down at Brudenell, the first event, which will be fun. Again, it'll be a good way to catch up. Obviously, we've had some past guests, you know, guys like David Byrne, you know, will be down there playing. There'll be a few other people I've been chatting with as well, which has been kind of a journey, actually, talking to a bunch of them because logistics are not as easy for traveling right now. They're having a hard time getting things like rental cars. So I actually had a request. Somebody's like, do you know anybody with a car? And thankfully,
I have a car. Yeah. Yeah, I do know. I know many people too, with cars, but, actually. Yeah. Why? Yeah.
But whether they're going to give it to you for the week, I don't know. But yeah, so it's been interesting just chatting with the players, but I think they're pretty excited just to get down there, especially for 2 weeks in a row too. It's a good opportunity for some of them to, you know, just plant some roots for a couple weeks, a little easier maybe to, you know, hook up your accommodations and things. You know, you're going to be there for 2 weeks. Some are bringing friends, some are bringing family down there, turning into a bit of a vacation. So I think that's a win-win for the McKenzie tour. And hopefully we pick up some content down there as well.
Yeah. Shout out to me who said, watch out for Brendan Leonard on the McKenzie tour.
That's hilarious.
And what does he do? First tournament, picks up a win. This guy is on fire. People probably don't know him because he's only been playing mini tours up here. I told, told Ryan French, and we're going to get to Ryan French in a bit. Great content all week. Told him to watch out for him. Never heard of him.
I am going to watch him play golf tomorrow. I'm going to watch him hit a golf ball. Yeah. He's in the mix there. And I will certainly say, I'll tell him, you know, you're one of his biggest fans. You need to come on the podcast. Yeah, so we'll get him on here for sure.
Slow down. Slow down there. But we can definitely get him on the podcast at some point.
Are you running a fan club now?
Yeah, I'm running. Yeah, I'm going to run a tracker account on Twitter. Let's get into the week that was, Scott. Sure. Lot golf happened since last time I was on. The Olympics wrapped up. We'll wrap that up later. But just from the weekend, lots to get into. Where do you want to start? I got a bogey I want to start with, and it might help you out.
Just crank into that because I'm sure it'll definitely lead into something and maybe even to my birdie. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, my bogey goes to good guy Harry English, who just puked on himself on the back nine on Sunday.
You mean 40 on the back nine? Isn't that good on the PGA Tour?
No, I mean, and his interview after, I thought he kind of highlighted, I almost wanted to go with a bogey for the tour. Because it's like, you go up to these guys and you say, you know, you guys are on the clock, blah, 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 whatever. But then they never do anything anyway. So now you just got this guy completely out of rhythm when he's not even the reason they're on the clock. There was they had to go through whatever that nonsense is, that rules infraction that they're trying to figure out with Bryson. And he's just a bystander there and he's got to stand there. Now he's got to be on the clock when he really couldn't have done anything in the first place. And now he didn't make excuses for it. But so I'm still going to give him a bogey though. You needed a 39 on the back to get into a playoff. A 38 on the back at Memphis isn't that bad.
Yeah.
And he decides, you know what? I'm going to go 40. he made it, got it, gave himself a chance on 18, but it just wasn't enough.
Which was scary considering he made those two doubles. And yeah, you know, at that pace of play, I mean, he's obviously at fault as well. I mean, Harris English is not the fastest player. He'll admit that, you know, he's a Southern guy. He likes to just, you know, if you watch him ever hit balls on the range, he doesn't hit as many balls as anyone else. He just kind of gets out there and leisurely swats them around. And that's the pace that he goes at as well. So yeah, you know what? They got to take responsibility for it. But on the other side of it, it's not even about taking responsibility for it. If he knows that they're not going to do anything, then just go ahead and play at your pace. And you know, they still have another warning before they'll get to a one-stroke penalty. And think about that. He shot 40. Should he have just taken the penalty and played at whatever pace he wanted? And he might have won the tournament.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that, yeah.
So it's a different way to think about it. Just say, oh, screw it. You know, I'll just take the penalty. And away we go. Because obviously on the other side of it, you know, he was way out of it where he, you know, he wasn't really in the end. He could have won that outright.
Yeah. So just quickly, I like to look at the personal section on the PGA Tour website when it works. And his biggest thrill outside of golf was shooting an 11-point buck. This is the type of information we get. But the reason why I even got that far is I was like, this guy, I feel like he's this weird guy where it's like, has he been on the tour forever or has he been on there a short amount of time? So
I think he's been on the tour since 1952, hasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. So throw a guess out there what year he joined the PGA Tour.
Oh, okay. So we're 2021 now. He went to UGA. I'm going to say 2008.
2012. That's what I mean. Wow. Like, yeah, I thought that was late. He just seems like he's been around forever. He's also looked 32 since he was 22. He's always looked this old. And now, you know, with your 30s, sometimes your hair leaves you and it's starting to leave old Harry there as well at the top. It's getting a little thin, but yeah, he puked on himself.
And I've got all mine.
Oh, you do. Yeah. And Abe took advantage, and we'll get to Abe at some point here soon. Yeah. But yeah, that's my bogey for the week. But why don't you hit your birdie? Because I know you were giving him some props on Twitter too.
Yeah, my props was basically the fact that, you know, he handled his interview. He did his interview. You know, he didn't have to do it afterwards. You know, not every athlete is gracious enough. And, you know, we can get into a particular other one, but I don't really want to because I don't really want to talk about him anymore. But, you know, when those requests come afterwards, win or lose, it's the guys that I respect the most and the females as well that are willing to answer the questions and give honest answers and realize that, you know, it's not the end of the world. It may be a tough situation, but showing grace after you've done something that you're probably embarrassed a little bit by goes a long way. It goes a long way with the fans. It goes a long way with the media. And it really shows your character. And it shows you that you're not juvenile, that you're not just a whiny
kid. Are you still
kid.
Talking about Harris English?
Maybe.
Are you talking about somebody else?
Right? So just that ability to do that, I respect that. And, you know, and again, they don't have to. And I don't feel as a media person that they're obligated to in any possible way. If they don't want to talk to the media, that's fine. But it's a reflection of their character. And he definitely showed that in getting up there and not really making any excuses for himself.
No, I agree with you on that. I was shocked to see him when they went to an interview.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked. I was like, who are they going to interview? And then there he is, old Harry, just standing there. And obviously the story that you're referring to is Bryson comes out with this stupid idiotic comments at the start of the week, which I think has been beaten to death. And I just quickly, like, don't tell me you don't need a vaccine because you're healthy and then talk to me about how you lost 15 pounds and 5 miles per hour off your swing speed. It's like, that's literally, like, it's clearly become, and there's more and more coming out, it's all a mirage of like how smart this guy is. And there's like, now there's people that are looking up his old grades at wherever the hell he went to
SMU.
School. And like, yeah. Hey, maybe his science classes weren't as good as everyone, like stuff like that. I'm just over Bryson altogether. Yeah. And it's like,
he didn't talk to the media, the print media all week. And that's the big thing that a lot of people are talking about.
And yeah, because he made this stupid comment and then he knew he was just going to get body bagged the rest of the week.
And that's the thing, though. If you're going to go out there and say that, you know, stand up and defend whatever you say and have conviction. Don't complain about other people filling in the narrative if you're not there to fill in the narrative for yourself.
I like it. I like
that. You know, so from a media training standpoint, you control the story. I mean, Christina Kim had a great tweet today and said, you know, get some media training. You control your narrative. How you control that is by having the conversations with the media, not by hiding from them. You're just basically making yourself open to speculation.
It just, it also, it's starting to hurt the image of golf as this elitist sport so much lately with the PGA Tour players, like, not getting vaccinated and be like, no, I don't need it. And like, you know, Patrick Cantlay said, like, I don't have it. And, you know, obviously John Rahm didn't have it. And this life that they literally are in this bubble and they can do whatever they want and feel whatever they want and yada, yada, yada. And it's such a bad image at this point. It's just showing how elitist golf you know, that got that title in the first place.
Yeah. There was another element to that interview as well that, you know, that Harris had, you know, a lot of people have seen it as well, where he defended Bryson a little bit in the fact that the spectators and things were all over them. And I think that goes back to what we talked about earlier in the year and last year as well, the tour chasing things where they said they're going to grow golf by basically allowing whatever, from a behavior standpoint. And we can link this back to many, many things. We can link this back to certain activations. We can link it back to, you know, allowing phones. We can allow just behavior as in general. It's a two-edged sword. So, you know, if the tour is sitting, they're going to sit there and now go, oh, you know, we've gone over the edge here and these people now are yelling Brooksy nonstop and it's now disturbing the players. And, you know, it's causing issues with the players, which it's going to be at some point. Now they're going to see that maybe they've gone too far. You know, again, I'm all about people enjoying themselves and having fun as long as you can do it in a respectful way. So the scales may have tipped a little bit too far here. And again, I'm not defending Bryson here. This is not the case of defending Bryson. This is basically pointing out the actions of spectators maybe being allowed to go too far just to support the narrative of, oh, this is fun. These guys chirping each other and whatever. Fun to a point, but this is when it gets over the top.
Yeah. I was going back and forth on that. And I was like, I saw you, and that's your bogey for the week.
Yeah.
And I saw that in there. I was like, do I want to argue Scotty on this? Because this way
you can, if you want, everybody's going to have an opinion on it.
No, where the young and old, maybe you think when we're talking about hold on. It's not actually the young and old.
you just saw the look on my face for everyone that's listening.
It's what people almost push as that young and old, the young media versus old media, mainstream versus social media, whatever it is. Right. And I don't think that's actually what you're arguing here by any means. And I almost wanted to argue, like, and there's just a side point. I saw this funny tweet like a couple weeks ago. I was like, how do they decide which sports are silent sports versus loud sports? Like, why is golf the silent sport and tennis is a silent sport? But, you know, bowling, I don't think silent. Like, I don't know. Basketball. Like, maybe it is darts. Like, darts is such a focused rowdy sport. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, who decided that? I mean, we don't even get into that. But almost lost where my train of thought there. But I agree with what you're saying here is that, like, they need to decide. They're at this crossroads where they need to decide what is the PGA Tour version, whatever, going to look like.
Right.
And if it is this version, well, then you kind of have to let the reins off completely because right now it's at this weird crossroads where, you know, it's caddies are just constantly on alert on a tee blocking around. They're not even looking at their guy because they're looking to kick out some guy. And that's not the job in the first place.
They're not there to play security.
Yeah, exactly. Like, point. You need to decide which way are you going with the PGA Tour. And I don't know which way is better. I think with the way social media is and the unfortunate people that are going to follow your game and that are loud are probably going to be the people that want that loud, fun, crazy side, right? But is that the game you want to be in 30 years? Is it just what's best right now with the current... Yeah. You know, the current state of the world. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw a video on social media today with a young fan who ran out to give knuckles to Abraham Ancer. I don't know if you saw that, the little kid that came into it. Yeah. I mean, that's growing golf. That's creating a hero.
Yeah, but if Scott McLeod, the 50-year-old, does that, you're in jail.
That's a different story. But I don't know if growing golf is the four bros, you know, 20 beers deep, yelling mashed potatoes and Brooksy every 10 minutes. Like, is that attracting them to the game? Is that growing the game or is that just engaging them? Or at some point, is there a behavior limit?
I think what we now are into a psychology discussion. Oh, this is a
totally different topic.
Of like, you know,
we have a whole show on this. What we should do sometimes is bring on a tournament director, and we know a few of them, just to have a discussion about that and how, you know, kind of they can control things a little bit, I guess.
I like that. And let's combine it with like a psychologist and the idea of like this narrative that everybody needs to be the first, like the main character in the story. Mm. Right? And that's what these people that go out there and they go to these PGA Tour events. It's like, I need to be the main character. Hey, did you hear Bobby yelling, in the hole on the par five, right? Like this need for this likes. And I think we should bring them both on at the same time and combine them.
I like that a lot.
Now we're making chaos, but all right. I like that. Good conversation. Right. You know what? While we're on the kind of topic of fans and everything, I got a par for this week.
All right.
And it sounds like Blue Jays games is what I wrote down. And not the fact that the Blue Jays are back in Toronto. I think it's amazing.
No, it's great.
I was listening on the radio all last week. Was at the cottage. It was amazing. Came home and like now I'm in because it's like fans are back. It's in Toronto. It feels like it's close. You can go buy tickets.
I'm not in when they're beating the Red Sox though. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, they crushed them. But like it made me think like, did we? And I know right now you cannot predict the future. It's impossible right now. We might be in a lockdown in 2 months with the way cases are going back up with unvaccinated people in Ontario. But like, did we cancel the CP too early? And it's just like, it just makes me wish like it's a part because I don't know how to feel about it. It's like, I feel like we probably could have did it, but
yeah,
you know,
I think it was
too, it was too far ahead. There's insurance. Yeah. There's so much.
I think at this point, if we said, if we had to make a decision right now, yeah, they could have done it. But the problem is, and that, you know, that's what they dictated from the start and we're well aware of it is that, you know, they have these, you know, key indicators at a certain point, from a planning perspective that, you know, they have to make those decisions at those times. And, you know, they had gotten to those deadlines where they've just basically got to pull the plug.
Yeah.
So it is unfortunate. For sure. And I mean, you know, they are fortunate that, you know, the PGA Tour Champions is going to be played this week in Calgary, which will be the first, you know, big pro event as far as the major tours played in the country in some time. So, you know, that's great to see that way. But, you know, they had there's a little less logistics that have to happen for that event. It's a little bit smaller event. And you're also dealing a different territory in the province or in the country as well.
That's
as
one far way
to as how it. They're dealing things. So we'll leave it at that for
the record. Scott knows that Alberta is a province. He just means the area of the country without bringing up Alberta specifically, though I did that for him. What's your par for the week?
My par for the week is the regular season finish on the PGA Tour happening in August. I'm still lost about this. Like at one point I understand it. I understand the logistics of, you know, let's get everything done before football starts so we can have the TV ratings and we can have everything done. And I get that. But here we are in sweaty middle of summer is what it feels like. And it's the last week of the regular season.
I had no idea. PGA Tour. I had no idea until like literally probably 20 minutes before we sat down. I was like, it'd be a couple more. And then I was doing some research on the FedEx Cup. And it's like, oh God, we have like last week. There's guys where, you know, they're heading to the Corn Ferry Tour. Like unless like an absolute miracle happens and they, you know, shoot 25 under and pick up a win this week, they're like, enjoy it. Enjoy KFT finals.
Yeah. And it's just, it's confusing. So on one side, I get it. Logistics, business, you know, how it works, TV ratings, getting the most audience for the tour, whatever. On the other side of it, and it's probably for me more because of legacy being older and being used to the tour having a certain schedule and a certain rhythm over the years, just having it end in August is just kind of weird. So, you know, it's just a par. Again, not an opinion one way or the other. I get it. Still weird.
I got another discussion. We're going to go off deep. This is going to be a long intro because I just thought about this. We went a full PGA Tour season basically without the face. And we didn't talk about it much. Tiger just not being around.
Who?
And this is what the PGA Tour is going to look like and it going forward. Yeah. And why I think this one's different is like before everyone knew when he was coming back and all that type of stuff, there was ideas. His back was, you know, but he was always, it's his back. So he could go out and hit balls. You get that rare swing. And then the internet
comes
would break.
Back, comes back for 2-3 weeks and whatever.
And whatever. And this year it was just quiet. Everyone gave him his privacy. And do you think the tour was hurt? It doesn't. It feels like we've accepted where we're going with this yeah. new generation of the PGA Tour. I'm just going to leave it as a par. It's like, huh, we yeah. did it. Like, yeah. and I know we've done it before, and we're going to have to do it again.
And it wasn't terrible. And I will say, you know, I have talked to a few people that have said, oh, well, I only watched golf when Tiger was around. But you know what? That's a pretty small minority. And realistically, if you look at the events and look at how many good players came to the surface and how many cool stories came to the surface, it lets you really know what the depth of the tour is. And they can survive without just superstars, you know, because people just have to get used to it. If they're used to having Tiger there to run the show and, you know, he's the alpha male, that's what their expectation is. But I think the tour is better when there's more stories to follow.
Man, I want to go down that. I'm going to leave that for a while because I yeah. word survive and it's like
I think we've created scripts for a couple of shows.
Survive or can they thrive?
And yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to hit up my birdie for the week. Sure. And then we'll hit up our honorable mentions. My birdie for the week goes to Mark Baldwin. Mark was on this show, episode 107. He came on and told us amazing stories. Just an absolute journeyman yeah. role player. 37 years old, has a small child at home. He's about one. Finally gets through on a Monday qualifier for the PGA Tour, plays in the Barracuda, and for the first time is able to actually make the weekend. And every time he makes the weekend, he throws out that hilarious SNL gif. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. And it's just, it gets me every time. And I'm giving him a birdie. I know for a lot of people, it's like, cool, he finished T35, whatever. Right. Yeah. But for Mark's one of the rare players on here where we didn't know Mark at all prior to him coming on. And after that, like, I would hop on a flight and not even like hang it, like not even go for anything golf, just hang out with the guy. He's that nice.
Yeah.
He's kept up. He checks in with totally. Me on my family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
oh, how's a kid? Like, yeah. we don't even talk golf a lot of the time. Yeah. He was focused this week. I tried to text him one point. He just kind of gave me the thumbs up. I was like, all right, I'm going to let him be. He's focused, but yeah, just an awesome dude. Easy to root for. He also had our buddy Ryan French from Monday Q on the bag, which was a cool experience for him. He's now retiring as a caddy, so he says, because he almost died out there. Just go to the Fire Pit Collective, read the stories. These two are a dream come true. I really, it'd be awesome if Mark could get out on the PGA Tour full time, and if Ryan could do like half the events or something like that. Yeah. But
and I think that's that's a great example of that content and those narratives and those other players and those other faces. And you saw how people embraced it on social media, right? And it didn't take a player who's won 4 million times and won 15 majors to get a lot of the same type of attention from the core golfer. Obviously, you know, obviously it's mainstream. People that, you know, have no idea who Mark Baldwin is or whatever care, and it's going to be golfers.
Like, but Alec Baldwin? Why are you talking about Alec Baldwin? Did he date his daughter or whatever?
Exactly. But you're right. And he's super genuine. And the fact that he followed up with everything. And I saw today, I don't know if you saw that, there was a little tweet from the Wyndham Championship that maybe hinted to him that there might be an exemption available for him next year.
Wow.
Where he was, they said something to him and he's like, are you talking what I think you're talking about? So I'm waiting to see how that plays out, but that would be great to see for sure.
And he's one of those guys where, like, he's probably not going to have status on the Korn Ferry Tour next year. He's not even going to get in Korn Ferry Tour finals. Yeah. He's going to have to go back to Q school.
But look at the value he brought to the Barracuda this week. So, I mean, he was very public about his thanks, his gratefulness,
his every fake phone call to his wife.
Exactly. Every was single so thing bad. That was in there. But all that did, though, was brought a lot more profile to the event. And I think that's a great example for other players to see and follow and understand that if they do get a sponsor's exemption, just don't take an exemption and play in the event. That's great. You're going to do your job and that's your main responsibility and go ahead and do that. But if you see what other intangibles that you can bring to the tournament, that is something that a tournament director will just love because that's bringing value, even if you don't make the cut or don't sell a few more tickets.
Here's what I hope, and we've seen it before, is, you know, we've had guys on the show that early on to the PGA Tour, and you know, the bright lights and their smiles, and they're like, yeah, I'll take it all, and like, I really enjoy all this, and you know, they'll do everything and do those fun interviews, and then they get out there for a while and it's like it just becomes a job, and then they struggle at their job and they make paychecks, and it's like all that goes away, and it's, but I feel like by doing that, it makes them actually better at their job, and that's who they need to be. And it's almost like the opposite, like, oh, I'm not playing well, so now I need to focus my attention on just working harder. But instead of just doing what got you to there in the first place. And I hope with Mark that that isn't the case, and that hopefully he gets there full time. I think he, if there's one guy that would just enjoy one full year out there a lot, it would be him. Yeah. He'd love it. And hopefully he gets there at some point. I'm going to give my final honorable mention, and then we'll go to yours, and yours kind of talks about the Olympics, and we're going to do an Olympic wrap up. My other honorable mention goes to Willie Wilcox, who is a show 112. When he came on here, he said, you know, he's probably got another month left and he's going to give it a shot. And then from there,
he did not lie.
He's going to like buy a van and go live on a beach somewhere. Well, he's not actually buying a van yet. No. He did say he's buying something. He's going to be trailer park trash Willie. But he's helping run golf tournaments in Arkansas. He's not playing. I actually was chatting with him today. I was like, so you actually done? He's like, done for a while. Like, who knows, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point he's going to get a call next year. He's like, hey, you got into this event. Or like, hey, you're right. We've given you a sponsor's exemption. Can you come play? And he'll probably go play. And then maybe he'll play well and he'll get the itch again. And he's got all the game. Like, he's clearly got the talent. He made a lot of money on the PGA Tour a couple of years. Like, a lot of money, relatively speaking, to, you know, to normal people. Maybe not to the PGA Tour. And just nice to see him walking away on his own terms.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And again, another great character, somebody we've got to know that much better through the podcast. And then, you know, continue to follow as well. And, you know, he is who he is, which he I is totally is. Respect. I
I'm
totally
going respect. To, I'm going to reach out to him. This is just a, maybe a tease. I'm going to see if I can bring him as a guest host, in a couple of weeks later away. Cause he's one that does not hold back about any topics.
That might not be a clean audio one.
Eh, that's for sure. Which what's your honorable mention for the week? And then let's
all right, my honorable mention. Yeah, it's the Olympics golf. You know, they didn't have the strongest fields because obviously they have it set up. So, you know, it's 60 players in the field on each side, but there was drama on both sides. And I don't know what your viewing was like for this, but, you know, obviously I did it from a responsibility of, you know, media as well, but I was entertained. I stayed up till 4+ in the morning watching the men, stayed up very late watching the women's as well. Great play by the leaders and the winners. And, you know, having the playoffs for the other medals was, you know, is interesting as well. That 7-way playoff for bronze was insane on the men's side. And so I think overall, despite not having the strongest fields, I'll give them a birdie. And the fact that there still was drama, it was watchable, it wasn't blah. Whereas, you know, it's pretty hard when it's deep into the middle of the night like that. If there's nothing there to pull you in, I mean, there was a lot of Olympic competitions that I bailed on that I thought, oh, this will be interesting. And then like, I'm going to get some sleep.
Yeah, it's the first year was good because it was kind of more prime time being in Brazil, but this year was tough.
Yeah.
Real tough to keep up on it. That 7-way playoff though, I wish I was up for it. Cause that, like for bronze, and it probably had all the eyes on it. Obviously didn't get to see it. You saw most of it. You said you fell asleep during.
I went from this. Here's how I watched the men's golf, at least the final round. I had it streaming on an iPad. In my simulator, I was playing golf. I played a golf course in Japan. I put it on my Insta story. Then I started playing another course. And then I started playing another course. By the time I got done three courses, I was tired. So by then I was like, I'm going to sit down. So, you know, got a chair out, started watching. I flipped it over. So I was watching it on the sim screen. I'm like, all right, this is good. All right, I'm getting tired in the chair. Chair's gone. Now I'm laying against the wall. by the time we got to the bronze medal, I'm lying on the floor on the sim with a pillow under my head.
It's not like you like. Hold on. Has your wife kicked you out to the garage? Like, is that where you're
No, but I told her where I was going to be.
Are you sure? Are you allowed inside? Blink if you're allowed. If you're allowed inside.
Blink, blink, blink. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like, wow, this is a long event. And the other thing I was thinking of while that was happening was like, here's these other Olympians. They're done their competition in 10 seconds. These people are playing for 4 days, hang around in the bushes and extra playoffs and extra holes. And I'm like, wow. Like, they're the decathlon, decathletes of golf, I guess.
That's crazy. I think that's the drama that we don't get to see on the PGA Tour is that playing for third. And I saw there's a great tweet after Abe Anser won with that birdie on
Sunday.
The one you're talking about. It was like, all right, so now
that was Weeksy. I think that was Weeksy who said it.
Yeah, now Burns and Matsuyama go back for second and third.
Exactly.
Can you imagine? Oh, that'd be so good.
That would be awesome. Actually, think about that. The players get to the playoffs. And again, I know it's not practical, but what would happen if all of a sudden, think about those playoffs this year and how many holes have gone to playoffs, if they made them play off for second and third rather than just splitting it.
Now, what about from a betting perspective? Now, they're getting in bed with a lot of these.
That's interesting.
What if they're like, nah, you got to go finish. There's no, there are no ties anymore.
We break ties.
Yeah, there are no ties anymore. PGA Tour events, they're long now. They're long. What'd you think about the Olympics overall? I thought we from a men's side, we didn't do too well. From a women's side, I mean, I picked Nelly Korda. It was obvious. She was like a 3-1 odds to win the thing. But not like 59 in the Olympics. Is that ever going to happen again?
Well, it didn't happen because she doubled the last.
Oh, she didn't. Oh my God. I was at the cottage and I was getting sorry. Oh my God. I was getting notifications. 59, 59.
Well, everybody was talking about it.
Maybe it was like 59. Watch. Now I look like an idiot. So I had completely assumed she shot 59 because I was literally at the cottage. I had no cell phone service, but I get these like random, the Athletic.
You send me the random text every now and then when you get signal.
And those take forever to send. Take like all day to like, hey, can you update me on so-and-so in this tournament? And it's like by 7 o'clock, the tournament's over. And like, I finally got your one from 12 that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay. My bad. Okay.
Yeah. Well, besides the point. Yeah. She was dominating early. And then, obviously a lot of the players got in the mix. Lydia Ko was kind of surging back there. But I mean, there was lots of drama. And I think the only issue is that it's just, again, while there was drama and it was 60 players, I don't know if it really, and I get it. All the other sports, you have to have an Olympic standard to qualify for a sport. You have to achieve a certain standard to be qualified for the sport. But I think golf is the type of sport that participation is important. The Olympics obviously is trying to expose the game to a lot more people. We saw the uptake with the player from India on the women's side who was doing well. And I tweeted a couple pictures of, people sitting around in India watching her play and stuff. And that was a cool moment for that country and that they had a player that was a player in contention. I almost think that golf, Slovakia winning a silver medal. I mean, they only have 9,000 players.
Yeah.
I almost think that it could be the one sport that is, we'll call it, sacrificed a little bit. They expand out the field and they let the best players from those particular countries come in. I get it. I know that might be tough if the 10 best American players don't get to play and instead that a player from Madagascar gets to play and fires 100. But and I'm not saying they should have a net division, but
kind of like that. Let's go net.
let's think of maybe there's another side of the Olympics that they could maybe have that could help expose the game to more people if that's part of the mission for the sport. What are your thoughts on that?
I've now thought of a much better way.
We're not having a scramble.
No. I like the you're saying nut like net nut. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Can you imagine? It'd be so hard to do, but can you imagine the event was it was one like professional player, whoever your best is, and then one you're like the lowest their handicap can be is a 10, and they nice. Like somehow play together.
Maybe just it's alternate shot,
the alternate shot the whole way. That's the type of chaos.
I'm gonna be on my sim floor for days. It's gonna last 10 true. Days.
That's the type of chaos I want to see. But like, there should be. I do wonder.
Well, maybe they need that in the X Games then. Maybe the X Games picks up and says, "Hey, let's do something radical. Let's do some sort of radical version of golf," and they can embrace that. Rather than the Olympics.
Now, I was watching X Games skateboarding. I think it's mentioned this. I would have made the U.S. women's team. Now, in my current state, and the last time I was on a skateboard might have been 7 months ago, there was one woman that all she could do is ollie. That was basically it. I mean, maybe she wasn't trying anything, but those 13-year-old girls that, like, the men, like, that's the cool part about the Olympics. It brings out these different storylines of different. There's so many sports there that don't even see TV. I wonder, like,
how much of the 3-on-3 basketball did you watch?
That's dumb. Like, you know, like that's never coming back.
Break I told dance. You it was like watching the. I tweeted about it. It was like watching Wii basketball.
Yeah, I'd rather see breakdancing than that. Like that seems more interesting.
It's coming. Don't worry.
Oh, I know, but I think golf's such an old sport that I do believe it needs to stay there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it will become similar to. No, because the turnover is not as way quicker than it is like basketball team. I mean, you look at the USA basketball team, they're always going to win basically at the Olympics. But like, it's not like LeBron still goes because he's like, I got one of these. I don't need another one. Yeah. I wonder if we'll get to that point with golf. And I do think once the Olympics comes back to, say, North America, then you'll see all the big names showing up. But shout out to Rory McIlroy, who basically went there and he said, you know what? I was wrong. And I love when people get new information and then they change their mind. They don't hold their opinion. He was wrong. He said it from the beginning. He's like, I should have came here last time. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, awesome. Rory's, you know, this guy keeps getting birdies for not even anything on the golf course.
No, which is great. That's what he's about.
Yeah, the men's side, obviously, Xander wins. Of course. I think I made a joke that was going to be the one he wins is that. But, you know, I think it's sweet. I think it's awesome. He's due for one of these big ones, but it's Definitely. Isn't that big. I don't know. Beat like six guys. Yeah, Rory Sabatini came in second. Like,
yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, if you put it in the, and we've talked about that, we put it in the vein of comparison with the, you know, the other majors, it doesn't. I mean, even if you take the Masters with the smallest field, it's still a stronger field than the Olympics was. So, you know, that's not to take anything away. You won the gold, you know, you only can play by the rules that you're given. But you know, he performed and got it done. And as did Rory Sabatini of all things. And
God, the wrong
way. Hey, and you saw my tweets regarding that. Yeah. I you know,
they're risky for you. I'm not gonna lie. A little risque.
I will say, yeah. So I didn't give all the details in it because obviously I respect the
privacy. You don't get to go back to those things if you give all the details.
No, but let's just say I was at a casino one time with Rory Sabatini and he may have done very well at blackjack and I just thought it was funny.
Guys went to other establishments.
McDonald's 4:15 in the morning. So
that's the one I meant.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just say great playing by him, 61. You know what? I don't care where he affiliates with.
Wait, hold on. So he beat Nelly's 59, I guess.
Yeah, he did.
One of the guys
with two bogeys, 61 with two
that's
bogeys.
Still impressive for sure.
Yeah, it was.
One of the guys you had picked is Colin Morikawa. He was in that playoff. We actually have a contest running on our Instagram right now for TaylorMade head covers. We have two drivers, two putters. We're giving them away in a set, so one of each. And they're to honor Morikawa's win at the Open Championship. They're beautiful head covers. I really thought about saying, "Oh, we only have one set available," but
it shows up on your bag.
Yeah, TaylorMade said, "No, we have two, and they will be given away." And so they're being given away. So all you got to do is head to our Instagram account. At T-Talk Podcast. You can find the posts. You can see the ones of the head covers. All the instructions are there. It's pretty simple. You got to follow us, follow our Instagram accounts, follow our Twitter accounts, whatever it is. Comments, three different friends on there. Tag them in there.
Yeah.
You're entered to win. We're going to draw next Thursday. I will let you know the winner on this podcast next Thursday, and we will get those to you as soon as possible. But not the only thing Taylor made this week. Taylor made coming out with some new irons, Scotty, and you sat down for an interview with who and what did you chat about?
Yeah, Matt Bovey, who was on the show, I believe last year, might have been the year before. Anyways, he returned. He's a director of product creation for TaylorMade in the iron category. And we sat down and had a chat about the new P790 irons that are coming out this week. The details from the guy who actually, was involved with the creation of them. And he also threw in a little bit bonus there. We had a little chat about Colin Morikawa and what it's like to work with him on his irons as well. So Matt Bovey from TaylorMade Golf, I think you'll enjoy this conversation. We want to welcome back to the show somebody who's been on before to talk to us about some of their great products, Matt Bovey from TaylorMade Golf. They've got a new product that has just dropped that I think a lot of people will be excited about. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me back, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting today to talk about because, you know, when we think about products in the golf industry all time and we think about products that have become classics and icons over the years, we arguably have to start to put one of the irons that, you know, your company has created in that category. And that's the P790. And, you know, just introduced 5 years ago, but in that time has clearly become a product that, let's say, it's a star in the industry. It really has been. It's something that a lot of people know, whether they're loyalists to the brand or not. And obviously now you guys have introduced the third generation of the P790, which is, you know, really exciting. But a difficult challenge also for you guys because you have to better or improve the great things that you've done in the past. So why don't we first start with kind of a little bit of an overall of where you guys were heading with this product, kind of what you felt your mission was in moving from the second generation to this third generation.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So a lot to get into there. And I certainly agree with you that 790 has become one of the iconic irons or something that has to at least be considered in that conversation because of the pivotal role that it's played in really changing what the industry views as players' performance. When that came out in 2017, we set out on this mission to provide players with, you know, some distance and forgiveness, but in a package that looks like a true player's iron, right? And it has the feeling of a true player's iron. And there's a lot of elements to that, like speed foam, the forged hollow body construction. You know, as we look at the 2021 design, which will be, to your point, the third version P790 coming out. We wanted to make sure that we incorporated as much retail feedback as possible, as much fitting feedback as possible, because this iron has become really a go-to for fitters. I'm going to get into that in just a second. So, you know, we want to make sure that we really capture everything that creates the identity of 790, the soul of the club, if you will. And then in my opinion, it comes down to three key design attributes. First is feel. Obviously you got to have a great feeling product, especially for something that's in the player's category. Yeah. Second is performance. You know, we see a wide array of handicaps. It's tour validated product. Mike Weir, for example, won with a full set. You saw the 2021 model go and play at the Open the first weekend that we took it out there. We had six models in play. So immediate tour validation. So you got to have that side of performance, but you also have up to 20-25 handicaps playing this product. And you know, when you're on that side of the handicap spectrum, you want a product that looks great, feels great, but still gives you a little bit of that extra love as you're honing in your game, right? As you continue to aspire to get better. And the third design pillar here is actually the design language of the product itself. So how it looks, and, you know, 790, I think, is one of the best looking irons that's been out in a long time, especially when you consider the performance aspect that is packed inside it. And we've always strived to create P790 to where players fall in love with it before they even hit it. You know, there's something confidence expiring. Like you feel this, like this excitement, like when you're getting ready to test this club and you're getting ready to hit this club because it looks so good. Yeah. And you know, golf's a mental game. You get the right mental mindset. And there are studies. You swing faster when you have confidence in a product. And so all of that stuff, it does factor into performance, and you want to make something that looks great in the bag. So that's a long, long-winded way of saying feel, performance, and design. We're trying to push all three because, in my opinion, it's a tripod. It's a trifecta. And if you kick one leg out from a tripod, it's going to tip over. We got to make sure that we keep all three and continue to push ourselves in all three areas to improve 790. And that's where we get into what 2021 has ultimately become.
So when you talk about feedback, you know, from fitters, from consumers and so forth, I mean, how long does that process take? And, you know, how do things sort of jump out to you guys? And how do you sit there and go, okay, you know what, let's take that. We've heard that enough from people. Let's see if that's valid and how do we address that, or is it important to address it?
Yeah. So that process starts really from as soon as the product hits the marketplace. We want to make sure that we have, you know, our pulse on the marketplace, as we say, get that early feedback. What are the first things we're seeing? Because also in terms of how long it takes to develop product, you know, we need that early feedback and it's critical. But we definitely stay plugged in and connected to it throughout its lifespan, for sure, because we want to make sure, again, that you just have that connectivity. And that's how you continue to make great products for golfers. And that's what we literally wake up every day to do at TaylorMade, is to make the best performing products for all types of golfers. And in the iron category, we have several different types of irons depending on your skill level and what you're trying to achieve. So that sort of ethos really flows through the entire lineup. But in terms of 790, yeah, it's that feedback loop it's never ending.
And, you know, obviously that lends you to, you know, looking at different ways to design the clubs. I mean, one of the things that happens, obviously, in that generational period is we have some time for new technologies to emerge, new products to emerge, new components to emerge, new materials as well. You know, how did that take a role in this, in the design of the new 790?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned materials specifically, and materials are playing a pretty big role this time in 2021 with the addition of speed foam air. So as everybody familiar with P790 will tell you, that speed foam that's packed inside the hollow body construction is really, really pivotal for providing both performance and feel. We wanted to study that foam and figure out, okay, how can we continue to make it better and create a better feeling iron that also has more performance built inside, and speed foam air is that answer. It's 69% less dense than the original speed foam. That's a very, very, very big number. What that means is that we're able to save a good chunk of mass out of that speed foam to then reposition it in other places in the head and improve the mass properties, as well as tailor the sweet spot location, which we can get into in a minute here. Yeah. For this iron, for the new 2021 model compared to previous models.
Yeah. And, you know, it lends itself beyond, you know, what's inside as well. I mean, the materials that you used, this is not, you know, your standard one piece, iron head. There's multiple elements that come in there. And again, you know, maybe people don't really understand that from a consumer standpoint. They look at the club from the outside, they see a single element, but obviously it's made up by a number of them. You've made a choice here to make use of different carbon steels for, you know, probably feel and other characteristics, but, the weighting also played into that to help you out in the thickness of the materials as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned the two different types of steels. So, you know, for the face material, it's forged 4140. It's a very strong steel. It allows us to go extremely thin, down to just 1.5 millimeters. That's thinnest location in the set. I mean, you think about like how thick 1.5 millimeters is.
It's crazy.
It's just crazy, crazy thin. You guys at least are on the metric system up there.
So yeah, we understand, you know. It, sort of.
But, you know, so you got the extremely fast and flexible face, which is key in terms of forgiveness and protecting ball speed. But the body itself is an 8620 carbon steel, which is extremely soft. Now, it's important to keep the 8620 because it has to be soft so that it's easily bendable. This iron is predominantly custom fit. And also 8620 has great damping properties, being that it's a softer steel, which also, so that plays a role into the feel. So does the forged face. So does the speed foam air. It's really like the whole package of this forged hollow body construction works for each one of those design benefits or goals that we talked about, feel, performance, and design. So yeah, the steel materials play a big role. Obviously tungsten weighting inside, extremely dense, heavy material. We're up to 31 grams in 2021. That's more than two times where we were in 2019. And really, I mean, that's where when we talk about saving that mass from speed foam air and repositioning in the head, we stuff all that into the tungsten weighting. And we also improved some other manufacturing processes with the 8620 that allowed us to pull some weight from the upper portion of the iron and then again reposition it down low and in the toe. And that's how you get that lower center of gravity. It's on the order of half a millimeter lower in each head for 2021. And again, we'll get into the sweet spot piece. But
yes,
you know, as you move your center of gravity based on where you're positioning the mass, your sweet spot wants to follow. Now, if you overlay that with capturing impact locations and where golfers most commonly hit it on the iron face, you can start to do some pretty cool things as far as where you put performance.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's not new to your company. I mean, over the years, we look at some of the driver faces and things over the years, a lot of study on the club faces and the importance. But, you know, a lot of people would have expected that to happen over the years, mostly in just something like a driver, whereas now it's become increasingly important in the iron because, as you said, you're going and studying what golfers really do when they get the golf clubs out to the golf course, which is obviously much different than the laboratory. And you want them to be practical as far as getting out on the course. So how do you address that? What's this, maybe the science a little bit behind that? And then how do you effectively make that happen in the product itself so that it can be useful for all golfers?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you alluded to it. It's in the Meadowwoods, right? That's where we kind of started the idea of, okay, let's use the concept of big data and where impacts are happening on the face to improve performance. And that debuted with Twist Face. We've adopted that same sort of concept with irons, but instead of worrying about the face curvature, we're looking at where we're putting the highest or fastest points on the face. So you still see that similar trend of low heel to high toe, but the majority of shots, as any golfer is going to tell you, are going to be at center face or lower. Think about it, you know, as a player, if you miss an iron shot, if you miss hit it, where are you commonly miss hitting it? It's usually going to be a groove or two low, and it's more often than not, it's going to be out on the toe. I mean, yes, the occasional shank happens, just between you and me.
Sure.
But, you know, you look at it, you see those trends, and, you know, you talk about building performance into an iron. Well, if I build performance into an iron in an area that nobody's really hitting on a frequent basis, what good is it doing anyone? You know, It's not. We need to focus our resources and put the performance exactly where golfers need it. That's what we've done. So you look at this impact distribution and you see where we were in 2019 and you see where we were in 2017. And, if I had a visual here, I could kind of have a better depiction. But basically, I want to pull that sweet spot to be a little bit more towards the toe. It's still right around center face, but it's more toward and it's better in line with where golfers are naturally impacting the face.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we've done our best and we've designed it to be as large as we possibly can. And we're capturing more shots now naturally for golfers. So you're going to find that sweet spot more often. And if you find that sweet spot more often, you're going to have a more consistent club head design. You're going to see your numbers on a more regular basis. You're going to play better golf. And that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, I think a lot of players maybe don't understand how important strike is. They're probably learning it more nowadays when they're seeing things on launch monitors. I know, in working myself as a coach and looking at alignments as far as, you know, strike, it's a very big thing. But maybe they don't realize how important, it makes an impact as far as, you know, spin rates, ball speed, you know, mm-hmm. gearing, how much the club face is twisting. There's a lot of things that come into play there. And obviously, if you're putting in a position that the club head can technically be more stable on an off-center hit, we'll call it, put that in air quotes. But if that's where they're hitting it all the time, that's kind of where you need it to be.
Yeah, for sure. And it really comes down to, obviously when you're trying to hit a pure shot or, your good swing, you want that impact to be around center face. And that's why you should go get custom fit, right? Get the right lie angle, because that's a big part of that. Get the right length. I mean, even now we've put tools into our custom select fit carts to provide fitters the ability to test loft with golfers on irons, which is something that I encourage everybody to do. I mean, I'm just going to slide this nugget in there. When's the last time you got fit for a driver and you didn't think about loft?
True. Exactly. It's part of the process now where you don't think about it as much with the irons.
Exactly. Every tour player on our staff, they are looking at the loft of their irons, and every single one of them has them bent to where they want to be based on how they present the head dynamically. It's not any different for a regular golfer, and now fitters have those tools, but we digress. You want to hit the middle of the face, but when you miss it, where are you missing it? And that's where I want to put performance. Miss hits will happen, but I want to minimize them as much as I possibly can. And that's what that new sweet spot location is all about.
That's a good piece there too, in talking about the fitting and, you know, options that you're giving your fitters as part of that select fit, program, how has that evolved even with these products and other products that you're doing with irons and different tools that you're maybe providing the fitters and different education that you're providing them so that people, when they're making these investments, because clearly, you know, products are not cheap now, you know, they need to make an investment and you want them committed to a product for a longer period of time. And they probably will if they're fitted properly. But, you know, what are you doing as a company to provide some options, I guess, in that iron category?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, we've been making a lot of strides in custom fitting in the iron category and TaylorMade on the whole. We put an emphasis and a focus on custom fitting because, I mean, we know it's the future. We know that, that, you know, the percentage of players getting fit continues to climb and the adoption of technology and having, you know, launch monitors and stuff in more stores, it makes it to where it's at everybody's fingertips. And really, that's how you're going to play the best golf. That's how you're going to find your best performances through custom fitting. So in iron specifically, you know, I talked about that loft head already. We debuted that in 2020, and we expanded it in our game improvement irons for 2021. It's now in both Sim 2 Max and Max OS. You can adjust the loft on both of those. And of course, you know, when we look at 790 now coming out, it's our most commonly fit iron in our lineup. It's the most popular from a custom fitting standpoint. So of course we brought the loft head there. You got all the lie ranges as well. And then in addition to that, we have launched a program earlier this year called Any Shaft, Any Head for iron. So now when you go to get fit in a TaylorMade cart, any iron shaft in that cart can be built into any head. So like, for example, if you are maybe you have a little bit slower swing speed for whatever reason, you know, doesn't matter if you're fighting Father Time or maybe you just don't have a quick swing. You can get lighter shafts in 790 than you ever could have previously, graphite and steel. We're really expanding that, you know, the fitting spectrum for the higher handicap side of P790. And of course, again, like the same thing applies if you want to be a better player or if you're a better player who wants to be in a Sim 2 Max or Max OS product for whatever reason. Maybe you need more forgiveness in your 4 and 5 iron. Maybe you want to create, you know, your own type of driving iron. You can put taper tip shafts in there now if you want to. You can do all that stuff. It's really just a matter of like, go in, find out what works best for your swing, what area of the bag you need to pull performance out of. And we have all the tools that fitters need to make that happen for you. And you know you're going to get the best performing product when you're with the TaylorMade cart.
Well, I guess that sort of eliminates the discussion in talking about shafts because obviously you have a lot of options that are there. I should mention, though, that there is a UDI option. A lot of golfers are familiar with, you know, kind of the ultimate driving iron. And there is that option now in the new P790s, correct?
Yep. Absolutely. We are launching the UDI at the same time. That's what debuted at the Open. We got 6 of those in play. You know, most notably Bobby Mack, arguably the best ball striker coming out of the European tour right now. He put one in play, had a great week, tied for 7th. That was fantastic to see. And you're going to see more of those go in play as courses demand it. You know, not every course calls for a 2-iron. Plain and simple.
I guess that confirms that there's a lefty option with Robert McIntyre if he's got it in the bag, right?
So, you know, a little...
Okay. Maybe?
Fine detail there. Sure. He put a 3-iron bent to a 2,
which
any lefty can do. We got lefties available from 3 all the way to gap wedge. The 2-iron specifically, unfortunately, does not come in left-handed. I apologize to all the lefties out there. I continue to try to launch as many products in lefty as I can. Case in point, the MBs that came out in fall of 2020 were in lefty. That's the first time we've done that.
That made a lot of people very, very happy. Yeah, for sure.
So I hear you guys. I'm trying to support you as best I absolutely can. Trust me, I'm at bat. Going for you every time. But in this case, if you want a UDI and you're a lefty, take a 3, bend it strong. Your bounce numbers are going to be similar. And because of that Any Shaft, Any Head program, you're going to be able to mimic that same UDI build when you go and you set up your custom order. But the UDI that's available right-handed, you know, everything that's in the regular P790 head that we talked about, speed foam air, saving all that mass, you know, the 4140 phase, through slot speed pocket, everything is in the UDI. It's just that one's designed to be more of a low to mid ball flight that doesn't have a lot of spin. It's designed to be a wind cheater. It's designed to chase. Yes, you can work it. Yes, it's not the easiest 2-iron in the world to hit, but what 2-iron is easy to hit?
Exactly.
You
know what I mean?
If you want a more forgiving option in that area, like say 790 UDI isn't for you, even though it looks great, feels great. It is a little bit, you know, geared towards the low single digit handicap. If I had to put a number on it, we have the Sim UDI and the Sim DHY that still allows you to have that low penetrating ball flight. If you're not into rescue clubs or you don't like fairways and you want that iron like shape, both of those are fantastic options. I encourage everybody to check those out. But yeah, again, there's options all throughout the bag, and that's why custom fitting and going trying different product is so important.
Well, I'd be remiss. I know we're focused here on the P790, but I'd be remiss in making mention of a player that you guys work with and you get to work with, obviously, from an iron perspective, who is clearly one of the best iron players in the game, in Colin Morikawa. Any little nuggets or anything on him as far as his play? I mean, obviously, you know, fantastic golf swing, but he needs the quality tools to be able to perform like he does. Maybe could you maybe take us through a little bit of kind of anything related to him? Where, and you don't have to give us any of the new stuff, but maybe just, you know, a nugget or two about maybe working with him and kind of what, how he perceives his irons as tools in his bag.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no secret here. Colin is a fantastic ball striker. He's currently number one on tour as far as strokes gained for iron play, and has been for quite some time. The guy is just so pure. His swing is so good. And working with him is honestly a treat, because he's one of the players that has a technical aptitude for clubs, and he wants to understand why things are the way they are, what's working or what's not working, and why it's not working. You know, and you look at his bag, he plays a combo set, 770 in the long iron. He's got the MCs. He recently went all the way down to a 7 in an MC, was previously playing the 730s, made the switch to the P7 MC all the way through the bag down to the 9 iron for Royal St. George. And that came down to turf interaction. Those sole geometries are just a little bit different. He felt like he could get into the turf better. And that feeling, that impact for him is so critical, because A, it's, you know, just like all golfers know, that's your feedback as to how you're striking the ball. But if you, you know, aren't necessarily have that, you know, if you're not necessarily having that feel impact where you're getting a solid strike, you start kind of working on your swing or trying to chase that feeling. And it's important to have that. He was getting that with that turf, with the MCs. And obviously that turned out well. You know, the Open champion winner there, two majors already under his belt. It's incredible. But yeah, I'm so excited to have him on staff and keep working with him on new products, because he's the type of player that he enjoys it, you know, and he likes getting into the details and getting his hands dirty. So, and he's one of the nicest guys you ever meet.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's great too, because that also showcases that option as far as fitting, you know, the possibility of mixing sets. But the fact is, there's a little bit of everything in that whole TaylorMade iron line that can suit anyone, depending what they're chasing and trying to get out of their game. So thank you very much for this. Really appreciate it. Certainly want to encourage people to go and check out those new irons, because I know they're going to be probably something very special, being the next generation of, you know, this great franchise iron. So thank you for joining us again today. And we look forward to another chat in the future about maybe some other projects coming up.
Absolutely. We're always cooking on something. I appreciate you having me on, Scott. It's always a pleasure. And for anybody out there looking to test the new 790s, they're definitely worth the swing. Get out there and give them a shot.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, Matt, for that interview and chat about the new P790 irons. We're looking forward to testing those out soon as well. We're kind of in chats with TaylorMade about getting up there and doing a little bit of a fitting on those. They look, they've made quite the change in those. Those were, like, you know, a great iron, but they were big, and, you know, the way that people are these days, they don't want those big, the thicker, you know, sole there. So they've definitely thinned out. They almost look more like their 770 line now they have out there, but you're probably going to get that same distance of forgiveness out of them. So looking forward to giving those a few swings.
Yeah, for sure. It's you know, it's become a classic as far as an iron is concerned, and you know, they've stuck with it for a third generation. And as Matt laid out there, obviously some new technologies in there and some ways to improve it, but you know, to keep a lot of the things that people already love about the iron line.
All right, so this week is the Wyndham Championship, and as we talked about earlier, it's the final week to get inside the 125. Yeah. FedEx Cup actually is interesting for 1 week, and it's this week. So we're going to chat a little bit about, you know, who's on the bubble, who are we interested in, who are we most shocked is not within the 125, and who are we least shocked. But let's start in the first.
Why don't you start with the who's at 125? Who is the bubble boy? Which a lot of people would probably be shocked by.
Bo Hogue is at 125 right now. I'm kind of shocked. This guy's been playing really well lately, and to be at 125. But there's, you know, I assumed he'd be in the 125, but there's some names outside that that are I'm definitely more shocked by than that. Like
he was at 125 last week. He's actually up to 121, believe it or not.
I think you're looking at the wrong one, Scotty.
No, I don't think so.
I'm looking at FedEx Cup standings as of August 8th, 2021. You're looking at the wrong.
I'm looking at through.
You know, the order doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 5, 14, 18. That's not how we count anymore. Look, it's still.
Why is it at through the 3M? Why is that on here? All right. This guy doesn't matter.
You know what? Let's blame the website. The website's always a problem. It sucks. But yeah, he's on 125 right now. Who was there? Who was there that you were shocked?
Ricky Fowler was there.
He was? Okay. So he's at 130 right now.
Yeah. It's even worse.
Yeah. But. Would you be surprised if Ricky won this week?
No.
You shouldn't be, because that's just like, no. I think he's got just other things going on. He's got the perspective going on. The guy I'm most shocked by, and I'm probably going to botch the name, Anirban Lahiri. I never can say his name right. He's inside the 125. Like, that's a shock to me. Tommy Fleetwood, I feel like, has played in 100 events on the PGA Tour. He's 136.
Yeah.
Chucky Three Sticks is 137. Like, this guy's always there. I mean,
do you think there's an influence there though, because of the fact it's over two seasons?
That is true. I forgot about that. But for me, like, I mean, then Charles Howell being at 137. Well,
the Olympic silver medalist is 141.
And you know who's behind him? I cannot believe he's this high. Because if you go from the last, say, 8-10 weeks, this guy is at the bottom. And this guy had a run for a while where it was like this guy was picking up wins. He was, I believe, he was on a Ryder Cup team, if I'm not mistaken. Ryan Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has happened to Ryan? I know his swing's got that weird hitch in it.
Yeah.
But he's got 5 PGA Tour wins.
Well, he must have limited. I don't know what his current status is, but it must be a little bit more limited, because I see he's only got 15 starts in that wraparound. So I'm going to suspect, I don't know, we'd have to do some research on that, but I'm going to suspect he's in a limited category. That's why he hasn't had as many starts. I'll try and use my words.
I don't know. He was in a playoff for the Tour Championship.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
He was in a playoff at the Safeway 2018. He won the John Deere in 2016. Like, I know it's 5 years ago.
Yeah, but that's still a long time ago now.
Always was in the mix. So that one shocks. Let's go up to the top, though, real quickly. Let's go in the top 50. Who are you shocked to see in the top 50 here that, you know, just doesn't make sense to you, but they're there?
Well, let's have a look. No, I'm not going to say that one. That's for sure. You know what? Top 50, probably Harmon. Although he's a moneymaker. I mean, the fact that he's right there at 32. Lucas Glover. There we go. Even though he got 50? I know. And he got a, because he got a win. Obviously, right. That made a big difference that way.
His wife didn't kick him out that night.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, my bad. I think that's probably a surprise more than anyone. I mean, I think that a lot of the other ones are really solid players. I mean,
Schwartzel.
The other one that's odd is Maverick McNealy, who, there was lots of chatter about him, but do you think, we haven't heard his name that much. So obviously he's just been playing well enough to collect points, not do anything overly impressive, and worked his way to 49th.
I mean, Chris Kirk too. It wasn't that long ago where we were talking about this guy, you know, his run back on the Corn Ferry Tour and everything. Yeah. And now he's in the top 50. I mean, he's had a great year. But a couple seconds, he's just made a lot of cuts.
Well, Kiz too. I mean, Kevin Kisner, here's a guy who was, he was on a strong trajectory there for a little while, even though obviously he wasn't winning a lot of events. He was getting, he was placing, but for him to be at 69th at this point, or Bubba at 71st, there's a few players. I mean, there's only so many spots. That's the thing, right?
Go look at two.
Why is this throwing you? Well, you know what? I mean, Jordan Spieth, number two.
The top 10 is baffling to me. Absolutely. Yeah. Colin Morikawa makes sense. Patrick Cantlay makes sense. He got two wins in that area. But Harris English, I know he has two wins, but it still doesn't make sense.
He's a moneymaker. You did that to me a couple shows ago. We talked about it. You're like, how much has Harris English made? A lot of money.
23 million. Louis hasn't had a win, but still, like, top. Sam Burns. It's just crazy. John Rahm should be one. He's like one win, should have two, obviously, if we want to go down that road.
Yeah.
12 top tens. It's just crazy. Let's go down. Let's go down deep. Let's get deep here. And these guys, let's go.
There is some guys that
are let's go 175 plus, where it's like, let's just pick one guy from the 175 plus that we feel confident that could make it into the 125.
Oh, God. Trying to make a leap from there is a long way to go, my friend. But
basically, you're saying this guy wins.
But for a player that is shocking that he is there based on his potential level and what he looked like just a couple years ago, Kevin Tway. Like, yeah. This kid looked like a world beater. And, you know, he's just beating his wings around in a pool, like with water wings on at this point or whatever. So, you know, same as Wesley Bryan. There's a guy who won a few years back, you know, won at the Heritage.
His brother's really good on YouTube, though.
But again, here's the thing, though. You need the starts. And Wesley Bryan's only had 11 starts in the last 2 years. And then over that season, the two seasons, which is really one season. And that's the difference. And the thing is, if you don't get those opportunities, it's pretty hard unless you get a hot streak going to work your way up there.
Yeah, my one, and I'm not a fan of this guy by any means, but could he? I don't even know if he's probably not even in the field this week, sadly, but JB Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
this
guy, I saw that there too.
210, yeah. 19 yeah. starts.
Yeah.
You know, zero wins, zero top tens. Like, and this guy was, again, another guy that was just on fire for years. Yeah. So big week. I mean, let's actually just jump into the field just to take a look at what we're. Well, I mean, Martin, we don't really know.
Your buddy Martin.
Yeah.
You know, that can be the end of the road for that.
I mean, he's going to get his starts. Like, he's a former winner. Like, he's going to get those.
Doesn't get you many, though.
He'll be in the alternate events next year. Like,
two spots ahead of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods. Look, so he can say he beat Tiger Woods at something, but unfortunately, he played 27 events and Tiger played 3.
It's so hard because, you know, obviously Martin and I, we don't really talk much anymore. No. And he's busy. He's got, you know, why would he talk to me? But like any guy that comes on here and, you know, we go over the story of, you know, who have you been, like who you caddy for, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Not a single person has a bad thing to say about the guy.
Oh,
it's
no,
like one
all.
Of those guys that are so easy to root for. And as crazy as this sounds, if he won this week, all those people would be like, I told you, he's amazing at golf.
Yeah.
And because he is amazing at golf.
He is amazing at golf.
Like, you look through the events that he makes the cut in, and he's beaten a bunch of amazing players that week to make the cut. And that's just golf. It's
a hard game.
Exactly. It's a hard game. He's obviously in the field this week. Let's hope that he does something great. I don't know the math. I think he probably needs like third or better to get in the 125. I think what he's hoping for at this point, and a lot of guys that we don't even talk about this, like the story is always the 125. A lot of guys here, like, I just need to get in that 150.
Yeah.
I just
need that
150 so I can get at least more events next year. Just feel a lot better about myself.
Yeah. The death number is 151 more than anything.
Yeah, I'll make it cry. I'll make it cry a little bit. But yeah, that's this week. And then we head into the playoffs. And then, you know, we got good golf coming. We have the playoffs, the Ryder Cups around the corner, which I can't wait for at this point. I'm still not sure about the venue. We're going to break that down and over going out. But yeah, the Ryder Cup's coming up. So at least we have that going on.
Thoughts on the field this week? I don't know if you looked through it, but I mean,
Do you want to do a draft, or are you
not really?
You dropped off some. I had a drop off last week or two weeks ago. Nice bottle of wine, nice bottle of whiskey. How about we go two players if they win, they're
all right.
We'll throw another bottle of wine on there.
All right, we'll go for that. So two players. Oh, man, this is going to be interesting, especially considering this golf course, too. I like the golf course, but I shot a million on it. But that's besides. But all right, you know what? Do you want to go first?
Go ahead. You got it.
All right.
You can take your first two. Go right ahead.
I will take Will Zalatoris.
That's a good pick. You know, he can't even – the only way he can get in the playoffs – is if he wins this week. Isn't that the craziest thing?
Exactly. Which is, I think he's the kind of guy that he's under the gun. I think he either shoots up or he flames out. So it's one or the other. So I may as well put my saddle and ride him all the way through here. You want me to go my other two? You want to?
No, go ahead.
All right.
Are you going to go with Rain Gibson and Austin Eckroat?
Hey, come on. Rain Gibson shuts 55 once.
Okay.
On some other tour.
Yeah, that's great, Rain.
I'm not taking the Olympic silver medalist.
Well, Michael Gellerman. This is quite the field. I mean,
if you do every
event, you're going to get this. They're all like, there's some names that, you know, you thought you'd get more stars, like John Augenstein. He was one of those guys that, you know, got that big contract
from
Nike.
Super rookie kind of guy.
Yeah, and haven't done much.
You know what? Let's go Hideki. I mean, Hideki obviously, you know, just missed out there. Obviously still on a little bit of a heater. I don't think he's a guy that gets really tired much. He's sort of like a robot. Sanjay kind of guy. He's a robot. Yeah, he likes to play. So, yeah. So I've got Will Zalatoris and Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay. All right.
And you can have the alphabet soup besides that.
Oh,
good luck.
Man. There's some names. Bronson Bergoon. I'm probably just botching all these guys' names, but it's more fun.
You got that one. But
Scott Brown, I thought was Colt Knost for a second. It's not.
There's some guys here that look like dentists from someplace.
Speaking of dentists, this guy, every time I see him, I think he looks like a dentist. Dylan Fratelli, I'm picking him. Dylan Fratelli.
Good pick.
I think he's playing well. He's just a good dude. He chirped Bryson on Instagram when he was talking about not getting vaccinated. So he gets my pick right there just for that alone.
All right.
Okay.
You're not taking Sebastian Capelin?
I'm not taking him. I'm not taking Brandon Grace.
How about Jacob Bergeron?
we got both Bo and
Tom. Is he playing the East Coast Hockey League?
Jacob Bergeron.
I have never even heard of this guy.
Wow. This field is hard.
Like I know a lot of names for a lot of players. So if you stump me, wow.
Nelson Ledesma. Do you know him?
I've heard of him once.
Adam Long. This guy hasn't been like, you haven't seen him at all lately. Nope. And he's still like, why did the MLB, this has just been a conversation right now. We have no idea where we're going. Why does the MLB think like, hey, you know what? Let's sponsor Adam Long. Like that will get us viewers.
I have no idea. He obviously knows somebody that works for Major League Baseball.
You know what I'm picking? Oh, I'm picking Louis Oosthuizen because it's all about the FedEx Cup, and I cannot wait to see how the PGA Tour blurs out all his UPS logos.
I love it. That will be worth a bottle of wine to see that.
Louis Oosthuizen and Dylan Fratelli. Right. And why don't we let's throw out a will not win.
This will be good. Well, I'll take Jacob Bergeron. I got Jake, man.
I got
to find out how he got in the tournament.
Okay, yeah.
Forgive me if you're a family member and you're screaming at me right now.
Yeah, and I'm going with Matt Vick. Matt Vick doesn't even have a picture on PGA Tour, so this must be his first start. So he'll get his picture done this week. He'll be looking good. So there we go. That's the Wyndham. Why didn't we take Wyndham Clark? One of us should have.
It kind of makes sense.
All right, this is off the rails. Let's grab a quick break and hit the mailbag.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Let's get to the mailbag this week. Obviously, we've missed it the last little while here, but we're going to get to your questions today. As soon as I find it in my notes here, because I'm still recovering from looking up Jake Bergeron.
Yeah, do you want to go back in the field? We can keep breaking it down.
No, it's good. I mean, if we run through this whole field, we'll definitely have zero listings by the end of it. So.
They won't want the free head covers.
No, it's exactly it. They'll give them back to us. All right, is it better to win one event every couple of years on the PGA Tour or just play well consistently? This feeds in right into some of the stuff we were just talking about.
That's true. Like, we're talking Charles Howell or we're talking Ricky Fowler right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of what it feels like. Winning leaves you a legacy is what it comes down to. So I'm taking the winning every couple of years. Even if it was like if I'm guaranteed to win every 2 years and I miss the 50% of the cuts, like give me that. Like, I don't even care. 75% of the cuts. Winning is legacy. You know, as much as everyone loves Charles Howell III, no one actually, you know, like I love his bank account. Like, he doesn't really have a legacy of a player to the average fan, right? No. He's more of that myth. So I'm taking the winning every couple of years. But why don't you argue the other side? Because I think you're going to say the same thing.
I'm not. I can't because the thing is the Tour is really designed for that explosiveness factor. If you look at the way the purses play out, they're heavily weighted towards the top as they should be. And on the other side of it, you win, you've got status for 2 years.
You're in.
Right? It's Martin Trainer, right?
Yeah.
Odds to do. You win. Pretty much. Get to play for a long time and you're always a past champion. So you're always going to have some sort of status, whether you actually get into events or not. You are a past champion. So there's something that goes with that. And we can look at events of, you know, look at Bay Hill. Robert Gamez is still playing at Bay Hill after last having won it, you know, 7 centuries ago.
Shot 79 that one day.
Yeah, exactly. So
might have been 88, but he wrote 79.
Well, I mean, here's how I will argue the other side of it as well. If a player gets on tour and plays very consistently, does not have, you know, top five finishes, but, you know, always makes the cut, they'll make money and they'll fulfill their job as a professional. And they could be a Maverick McNealy where they have one hot week and they get some major points and they can work their way up. They'll get themselves into the FedEx Cup playoffs. They might not advance beyond the first event, but they'll consistently, you know, be putting money in the bank versus win once, just have a whole lot of expenses every other week and not make cuts. And you're just bleeding cash all those other weeks. So I guess that would be the way to look at it, but I would lean towards the winning every couple of years.
I like it.
All right. On to the next one. How do I get my buddies to play faster without being an ass? Well, that's a good question. Nicely phrased.
Yeah. There's so many ways of doing it. I need to know what it is, but let's just assume there's everything. Let's just go over every different option of slow. So one, you always are the cart driver. Always are the cart driver. Mm. And you make sure you're pulling right up beside their golf ball. None of this 50 yards away. Because usually if they're slow like that, and you're worried about being an ass, you're probably not walking. I'm just going to assume. I'm assuming. So that's my first tip. Why don't you go for next? Let's just go back and forth here.
Yeah, I think if you want your buddies to play faster, you're going to have some embarrassment factor in there. You're going to have to make them, you know, make it known to them that everybody else is having expectations from them, besides the people in your own group, that everybody's waiting for them and that they need to pick it up. So, you know, point it out. That's the thing. It's like, hey, well, these people are waiting on us the whole time. We're way behind the guys in front of us. And the rest of us, our games are sucking because you were slow.
So you're going with, I'm going to be an ass room.
Shame them.
my next one, honors is gone. So like out of order, I don't care. You just get up and hit. Like, say your buddy makes a birdie, you still, I don't care. You go to the tee, you hit next. Hey, I made a birdie there. Well, then hurry up and get up here because I'm not waiting. Right? Like things along those lines. So I've got two. Let's get three each.
Yeah, push cart, leave. I see so many players that all of a sudden, you know, they leave their cart. They have a putt. The green is, 40 yards deep. The pin is at the back. They leave their push cart at the front of the green.
Oh, you got to grab it. You got to pull it up.
All the way to the back. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you bring it right to them. Oh, here's your cart.
Slide down there and start pushing their cart up, and that lets them know, hey, dude, you should just move that up and bring it with you and not leave it behind there.
Yeah, I like that. Another one, you could, at the start of the round, you go, hey, double bogey max. So we're just picking up after double bogeys regardless. And if you're the first one, you got to do it. Like set something like that. Like, we're here to have fun. Yeah. We're going to go double bogey max. So even if you really don't want to be an ass, like that's probably a really nice way of doing that. Maybe you actually got to throw a hole. You're going to have to throw one early. You're going to have to actually shank one on purpose. So you have to get a double and you pick up just to prove a point. I don't know. And that's really not being an ass.
Yeah. I think if you go subtle hint on the first tee, say to your buddy, hey, you know what? I got to be out of here in 4 hours or my wife is going to be calling you complaining because I'm not at the family barbecue. We have a one practice swing limit all day. Oh, yeah. No more than one practice swing or I'm getting all over you.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's being nice. Let's go. Let's give them three each of you being a full ass now. Like you're being a complete dickhead. What's your first chirp after three practice swings?
My first chirp after three practice swings is probably start stealing some of their clubs more than anything. Yeah. I'm just going to be, ripping it out of their hands. in some way. I mean, if I start seeing them, or I'm going to be getting out my watch or and looking at my watch as they're going and giving them a look for sure. Yeah.
Like, I think you just dropped the, well, none of those look good. So at least just try it at the next one. Right. Might get lucky the next one. Cause those three, you know,
don't waste that.
You got to get lucky eventually. And those first three didn't look good. So let's stop wasting time. Yeah, I mean, maybe like it's like you teed off at 7 a.m. and you're like, oh, hopefully we're done by sundown once, you know, things along those comes.
I think another good one, if you play with, and it's a buddy, you've got a group and you've got a buddy's group that you play with on a regular basis. I think a good way to do about it or go about it, if you want to make it go a little bit faster, put something on the line that they're interested in. So, hey, if we play in 4 hours, okay, I'm buying first round.
Okay. Damn. I like that. Yeah. I was going to go with you, whatever golf balls he buys, you buy a dozen. And anytime his ball goes to the woods, you're in the other cart and you drop one outside the woods of his golf ball.
That would work too. Well, you know, we might have a book out of this. You never know.
All right. Speaking of books, I found this book at some store in Westport the other day. It's called Golf Formations. And it's just like a bunch of golf affirmations that are just like little poems.
At the Village Green.
It was like, I think I was. It was like $6, this book. I was like, I'll grab it for the cottage, just leave it up there. I opened it up. It was like, no one's opening this after me. Like, I opened it. I read one page. Like this.
All right. We have to get you to next week. We have to hear some of these. You're going to have to read some of them.
You're not going to be here. So there we go. There's all of our subscribers.
That'll be the whole show. You're reading golf affirmations to yourself.
I can have like an app that puts people to sleep. Just me reading golf affirmations.
That'll work. All right. Last one here. We didn't have too many this week.
We got two.
What do we got? Do you think you
counting? Hey, you know what? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a long week.
124, 125, 126.
Yeah. Do you guys think golf should be in the Olympics?
I think so. Just from the standpoint of it's one of the oldest sports. You got to have it there. I mean, if like competitive rock climbing on a manufactured wall is in there, then like you got to have golf in there. Like, I think what we should do, you know what, let's take this a whole other direction because we both agree it should be there. Let's go through. We're going to list all the Olympic sports, throw in your Google machine if you figure that out. And we're going to remove three that we believe should not be at the Olympics.
Oh boy, that's not going to be too hard.
So,
I actually had to Google this during the Olympics to do the exact same thing, to look through and go, what are the new sports here?
All right. So, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. The pleasure. We need it. Let's just do summer here to start. Cause we just came out of summer.
Right. Yeah. So the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah. I'm going to take out this 3-on-3 basketball cause we have basketball and if it was the best in the world, then they would just have NBA players playing in the 3-on-3. But instead you get a bunch of old fat guys playing. And it's like, why are they there? They're not the best of it.
There are sports in here that I didn't even know were competed.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Surfing? Did you see any surfing?
I didn't know surfing was big in Japan. Were they even in Japan?
Didn't they have a typhoon?
I don't know. I didn't know surfing was in the Olympics either. I'm not going to lie. All right. So we've each picked one. Do you got a second one here?
There's a lot of. I had no idea surfing was in the Tokyo Olympics.
I'm taking out athletics. There's just one here that just says athletics. What does that mean? I'm taking it out. I don't know what it means. So I'm out.
It's
out.
That's track, dude.
It just says athletics, though. That's then track. Name them all. Then name a track. All right, it's staying, but like it's
track, field, and road, and decathlon, heptathlon. Better have it in there. Decathlon's one of the original ones after marathons.
All right, I thought this would be easier, but 3-on-3 basketball, surfing. Are you taking surfing out though?
Yeah, I'm taking surfing out.
Why would you take surfing out?
Why should you have it in?
I don't know. I think there's.
We'll leave that for another show. We'll leave it for the Surf Talk podcast. do you think BMX freestyle needs to be in there? I mean,
I guess if skateboarding, the BMX racing though, that is like, I used to BMX race as a kid, but like watching that is insane. the speeds they're going to, and the tracks these days that they build basically for these things, they're basically racing on concrete.
It's not like a little pump track.
It's not dirt. And the old saying, the old saying of BMX is dirt. Dirt don't hurt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
This is like what?
Pavement kills.
Oh my God. So I believe the number one racer in the world that was like the clear cut guy to win BMX racing just like destroyed himself this year. Yeah. And did not like was taken to the hospital and everything. BMX racing, I would say, I'm looking here. If you can show me something that's more dangerous than BMX racing in the Olympics, I would love to hear it. Because I don't know.
Oh, rhythmic gymnastics has to be more dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll take that one out. You can take it. Artistic swimming, like anything that I think anything that needs a judge is out.
Interpretation. Yeah. I think that's a hard part. If you got anything that needs interpretation, it becomes difficult to justify.
I guess that takes out skateboarding. The thing with those, it's like there's that actual. But maybe there's.
And we're not saying these are not feats. I mean, lots of people will look at golf and look at it as something that old white guys do.
So lastly, did we already do what we think we would be good at if we had to compete in an Olympic sport? Which one?
Wouldn't be trampoline gymnastics.
Let's actually pick for each other. Golf. Now, it can't be golf, and you can't, when you get to this, you can't say golf for me, or else I'm going to be really pissed. So we're going to pick for each other the one we think they'd be good at, and the one that they have zero chance in competing in.
All right.
You go first.
Okay. I'll put you in, skateboarding.
Okay. Obviously. I appreciate that. That's an easy one.
You've got the experience. The one you would be terrible at, I'd love to see you playing water polo. You might drown. And you're probably going to say, I'm good at it. I can get some ever.
But I'm just too short.
You look like
aren't we supposed to play in the shallow end?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the shallow end.
What's that Martin Short skit where they're doing the.
I told that story on the podcast before when I bought the Arizona State water polo shirt on signing day. We're at Arizona State, and some girl at Cheesecake Factory thought I was actually going there and committing and bought us free dessert. I was sick. All right. For you, I'm going to pick for the sport that you are going to be great at. Okay. I'm going to go wrestling. I have this weird feeling you have a wrestling background. I have no information of why I think that is.
It's just gym class in grade 9.
Kevin. Yeah, I think it's like, I think it's just more of like where you've lived in places where it's like, I need to defend myself potentially. And at a time when it was like, there's nothing better. We didn't have cell phones to go, hey, with girls, we just had to fight each other in Saskatchewan or wherever the hell you were. So I'm going that. And can I pick a two pack for your bottom, which is kind of rude, but I need to. There's 0% chance you're getting up on a surfboard. Like there's like ever. Like,
I tried to windsurf. Yeah. It did not go well.
And that's like you have someone to hang on to. Like you're going to be that scene. I'm going to get Brendan to throw it in, like where he's trying to get him up on the surfboard and forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Let's see you pop up. Pop it up. That's not it at all. Do less. Get down. Try less. Do it again. Pop up. Nope. Too slow. Do less. Pop up. Pop up. You're doing too much. Do less. Pop down. Pop up now. Stop. Get down. Get down there. Remember, don't do anything. Nothing. Pop up. Well, you got to do more than that because you're just laying it. Right, it looks like you're boogie boarding. Just do it. Feel it. Pop up. Yeah, that wasn't quite it, but we're going to figure it out there. Let's go surfing. Come on. Everybody's learning how. Come on. The weather outside.
The other one I have for you that I just don't see. I just don't see it happening, though it kind of contradicts my first statement, is equestrian. I just don't see you going around on a horse, because hold on. Let's talk about there's an animal being involved in I'm taking equestrian out.
I know.
Like, that's not it. Like, you have an animal
who's the athlete, the person hanging on or the one that's actually jumping?
That makes sense. But I mean, I'm actually cutting that out.
All right.
I want to see you do diving. I think that would be more fun to watch you do some diving.
All right. I will tell you that I did have a girlfriend who was on the Canadian national team for 3 meter at one point. So
for 3 meter diving?
Yeah, for springboard.
Did you like I thought you meant like 3 meter racing. Like that was was one that you thought like, oh, you know, how we do 3 meter swim, 100 meter. I'll do three.
I'd be good at that. I'd do 3 meter. Just reach out. And we're done.
Okay. Speaking of track real quick. This isn't even a golf podcast. How many meters would you need the like Andre Agassi to be behind you for you to beat him from the 100 meters? Like, from 100,
I need a par five.
Like, does he need to be at the 400? Does he need
to be on the first tee, and I need to be on the green?
Yeah, that's. I don't think I'm beating him at if I'm at 100 and he's at 200. Like,
you got to stay on your feet. You're the guy that 2 weeks ago was talking about jumping the air and landing sideways. So
maybe golf is the most unrealistic one.
Maybe,
for me.
Exactly.
All right, let's finish this up and get out of here.
All right. A reader asked, what are the host's handicaps?
Ooh, mine has doubled this year.
Uh-oh.
Let's check here. I believe it's like an 8.5 right now. It was like a 4-something at the start of the year. Yeah, 8.6 right now. You can look me up on Golf Canada, follow along, follow me. I don't know if that does anything for me, but I don't think Scott has a handicap.
No, I have been tracking the I have been tracking the scores. We get a handicap thing as part of some other association that I'm involved in, but I don't keep track in Golf Canada. But I keep it on the side at our club. I keep track of it that way, just so if I can play in some games and stuff like that. And I'm actually at a plus 1.8 right now.
Damn, you've been playing good golf this year. It's that sim.
It helps. Makes a big difference. So
I'd love to see it. Never get an invite.
I just had a little hot streak there for a little while that helped out. So and it worked out because I finally got to use the handicap. I showed up for a game and had to play, and I was like, oh boy. And they're like, what's your cap? And I'm like thinking, oh man, I'm gonna have to be playing off a plus two here. This is gonna be rough. I was fortunate. I did shoot 500 that day, so I was okay. So
good question. Is a TrackMan making its way to PEI with you?
Probably, yeah. I saw the look in your eyes, like, "Hey, if it doesn't, that bad boy for a couple of weeks."
Want me to check your cats? I can check it on the cats. All right, that's the mailbag for the week, Scotty. Great questions by everybody. Make sure you enter our contest at Tee Talk Podcast, and you can also enter in your questions a lot of the time there as well, because that's where Scott will post it on Instagram. All right, Scotty, why don't you hit the tip of the week? This will be found on our Instagram account. This is usually pre-recorded. So, Scotty, what are we going to be talking about this week on our tip of the week on the Instagram account as well, at Tee Talk Podcast?
It's going to sound complicated, but it's not. We're going to talk about the trail shoulder rotation, how your right arm works in the golf swing, and how your shoulder works and why that's important in your backswing in setting up what's going to happen in your downswing.
All right, we're back here for another tip of the week on the Tee Talk Podcast. We're going to talk a little bit today about the movement of the trail shoulder. So the shoulder in your golf swing that is away from the target side. So for a right-handed player, this is going to be your right shoulder. This plays a big role in players that tend to slice the golf ball or pull the golf ball by coming over the top. And here's what tends to happen. What tends to happen is they move the golf club back in their backswing, and they keep their shoulder rotated forward, and that keeps the shaft rotated forward. And even at the top of the backswing, that puts them in a position then that they're going to swing down and across with a steep golf shaft, a club face that's moving left. And for most people that would think, hey, that's going to help me hit a draw, not necessarily. That club face going left is certainly going to lead to a pull or a path that's going even left a little bit more with the face open to that and a slice. And that tends to happen for a lot of golfers. Now, we can overcome that a little bit by allowing a little bit more rotation in our right shoulder externally or backwards behind you, especially if you don't have a lot of upper body mobility. And I'll show you that in a second. So what's going to happen is, as you work the club back, you're going to allow the golf club to work back behind you by allowing your shoulder to rotate back behind you. So that gets a shaft on a much flatter angle. It is shallow, as a lot of people would like to say, and coming from a path that's working from the inside a little bit more. Now, this is going to be the case for a lot of people because they don't have the mobility just to turn their upper body properly. So you don't have to have as much external rotation. When you set up and take your backswing, you actually have a good torso turn that actually actually gets the golf club on a nice plane here and gets the club head nicely behind you with the center of gravity behind you and gets the shaft moving fairly shallow, working from in to out. But if you don't have the ability to do that, don't move your torso the way you should. And again, like I said, a lot of us don't have the mobility to do that. You're going to have to allow that right shoulder to have external rotation working backwards. So have a look at that. Have a look at that with your golf instructor. Think about that as the shaft works back, that shoulder rotates back. And that's an important thing for a lot of you to get the club shallow a little bit and also working from the inside.
Thank you, Scotty, again for the tip of the week. We always appreciate that. I look forward to, you know what, if you don't bring the TrackMan, should I fill in tip of the weeks in your garage?
Oh, you should.
And it's me doing something, but it's like nothing to do with golf, like how to watch golf in your buddy's garage properly. And it's like me drinking a beer. It's your beer, clearly, out of your fridge.
How do you cheat at simulator golf?
Yeah, how to cheat at simulator golf. Like, oh, double bogeys only, things along those lines. All right. I think people would appreciate
that. That'd be a good tip. I think a lot of people would get something out of that.
All right. Well, Scotty, this is it for you for 2 weeks. We hope you enjoy your trip. Maybe we'll give you a call at some point.
Yeah, get for
a,
sure.
Get a quick thoughts on a tournament or something. We won't leave you high and dry completely. And plus, you can't spend that much time with family. I know you haven't seen them for 2 years, but like 2 weeks is a long time.
I'm going to be tired of them after a couple of days. Probably. You know, I'm hoping to check in for sure and definitely gather up some content there at the Mackenzie Tour event and with a few other people down there. Been some great people I've been connecting with down there in the last little while. Another local podcast down there, and I might get a game with those guys, and who knows, maybe drag them on as a guest at some point. And so I'm looking forward to giving some updates from down there. And who knows, at some point, maybe we'll even have a trip or something down there where we could go and hang out.
I would love that. I've been pitching trips since this podcast started. I think next year we got
it. Bad timing yeah. To pitch trips.
Bad timing to start a podcast. Could call on that. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. Shout out to Brendan Kennedy for doing all the audio, throwing in those clips. He's going to be listening to this at end. Just like, what? These guys don't even talk golf. No wonder nobody wants to win their head covers. They don't even think they talk golf. You know what? Let's just quickly, I don't even know if you've met Brendan, so I'm actually going to do this. The two Olympic sports that I think the one he would be best at, he was a really good baseball player. Right. I'm actually going to go baseball. You're going to go baseball, okay. Softball.
Yeah.
I'm going to go softball.
What's his bad one going to be?
Oh, man. So Brendan and I used to play music together. He used to be like thin. He was a thin drummer. And years on the road as a roadie, has the beers have caught up to him. So anything like sleight of feet are going to be tough. But, I'm going to go.
I bet you he's going to be great at sport climbing.
That's where I was going to go. Sport climbing. Exactly. He's done with sport climbing. Because here's the problem. We all
get soundtrack, though.
Like, when was the last time you went rock climbing?
Last time I went rock climbing was many years ago now, and boy did it hurt.
That's what I mean. It's many years ago. And when you go rock climbing, because you probably, like, unless you're going to the gym and you're like doing pull-ups and stuff, right. You forget how heavy you are and how hard it is to lift you, right? Yeah. And I think
reminder.
I think the last time Brendan probably went rock climbing was probably like 18. Right, like how often on the road are a bunch of guys in bands like, hey, you know what we could do today? Let's go rock climbing. in Tennessee. You know, like
I'm sure the guys, the Gloria Sons. I'm sure Brendan and the boys are.
Oh, yeah, they probably love the rock climbers. So I'm going sport climbing for Brendan.
All right, I love it.
That would be now. That's one that'd be hilarious to watch. The guy that goes really fast and like an average person trying to go up. So yeah, those are my two for him. Let's leave it at that, Scotty. Enjoy your trip. Safe travels. We'll talk to you at some point. Everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure you head over to Instagram account at TTalk Podcast. Enter the contest. Draw next week for some tailor-made head covers. Looking forward to that. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll chat with me next week.